I'm joined by the Dutch journalist Xander van Hoorn, who's witnessed an extraordinary week in Damascus. Xander, can you just take us through, first of all, what you've been seeing today?
Okay, what I see now is sometimes plumes of smoke rising over the skyline of Damascus after a big explosion. But those are the outskirts of Damascus. Now, inside, I've been driving around a lot today as well. And everything is quiet. That's the first thing. There's a lot of military presence in Damascus. But you see, some of the shops that were closed yesterday have started to reopen. Not on a large scale, don't get me wrong. It's just a few shops in any street. And those are especially the small shops that are selling groceries and like the first things you need on a day-to-day basis. But people are seem to feel a little bit more relaxed entering the street in central Damascus. Now, we've attended a funeral for the Minister of Defense in a Christian area. He was a Christian, of course, and there you see more shops opening.
The Syrian government has taken control of Midan today. Does it feel as if it's a city that's going in and out of government control?
Well, that's the image I get also driving around, that not only the city center but also the areas beyond that seem to be firmly in control of the government. And also the shooting I hear, sometimes it's close by, but most of the shooting and especially the heavy shooting seem to emanate from the areas we've been hearing all about in the last week, so the Tadamon area and beyond. So really the outskirts of Damascus, that's where you saw the most heavy fighting, and that's where it is today, I guess.
Can you just take us through the week? Did the atmosphere change markedly after the killings of the three generals?
The generals and the security officer have changed a lot indeed. I mean, people that felt safe in the center of Damascus after that all of a sudden didn't. But it's a rise in anxiety that you have seen the days before, because you can imagine, I mean, the shots, especially at night, that can be heard all over the city, even if you're not living in one of the areas that see some heavy fighting. So people were worried to begin with. Now, of course, they were more so after the attack, if it was an attack, because also the people that I talked to that are worried still doubt the official version of the events. Did we actually see an attack on members of cabinet and security personnel, or did we see something else, maybe something being waged, a war being waged within the Syrian government?
And yesterday, some activists were saying that one or two neighborhoods, including Midan and Kafr Susa, were under rebel control. Did you get a sense that was the case, and has control been reestablished?
Well, Midan has seen some very heavy fighting over the last day or so. We drove on and off fighting, I have to say, because we tried to get close. We were being stopped, of course, but at the time when we were, it was quiet, eerily quiet. Now, we've seen footage today on Syrian state television. We are still not allowed access to Al Midan, but we have seen footage of streets strewn with bodies, basically, of rebel fighters, their equipment on display. And people tell us that the inhabitants of Al Midan have been told to return to their homes. So basically, that is in line with my own assessment, that the fighting we are seeing today is coming from much more beyond Al Midan.
You said you're not allowed to go to Midan. What are the reporting restrictions like?
Well, the reporting restrictions are kind of funny, if you like, right now, because normally you would get a government minder with you. It's somebody from the Ministry of Information that basically oversees all your movements and, I guess, reports extensively on that while coming back. Now, that's a burden, of course, you can imagine. However, a government minder enables you to film at all, because as soon as you get your camera or your radio microphone out, and as soon as you get out of the car in the first place, because you're very recognizable as a Western journalist, then there's a lot of secret police still around. So they will come up to you demanding permission to film, permission to walk around. Now, the government minder is your permission. So without him, we are very restricted. We have to be careful which checkpoint you even drive up to, because if they don't like what they're seeing, they can just as well arrest you. And the Ministry of Information has made it clear you're not allowed to film outside with a government binder. If you do, you're on your own.
I don't know how many other of these kind of conflicts you've covered. How does it compare to the Libya, say?
Every conflict is different, I guess. I covered Gaza, for example, and I mean, you know that nowhere ever is a city completely a battle zone. So the hotel I'm staying, it's quite safe. And I mean, I still don't really call this a guerrilla warfare. I mean, the level of fighting going on, or let me say, the ability of the rebels is still very small. So you hear AK-47 fire, for example, being returned by a large gun mounted on a pickup truck. I mean, that's not a fair fight. So in that respect, I think what we're seeing is the government fighting back rebels, not even a guerrilla warfare where they can hold territory. And I guess the only aim right now of the rebels is to put pressure on the people in Damascus to loosen them from the Assad regime and to maybe get more soldiers to defect to the opposition.
How does the situation on the ground compare to what activists how activists are describing what's happening in Damascus?
Well, basically, I see that as my role here. I mean, obviously, I'm not being allowed even close to some of the areas. Sometimes I am, by the way, but there, you have activists residing in those areas where we see the black smoke. Now, activists, of course, have an agenda, just as the government has an agenda. So when I can pinpoint where the fighting is going on, you guys outside can mix it together and to get like a credible account of what we are seeing. So I guess I work in tandem with the activists, verifying their stories or denying their stories. That's also a possibility, of course, and that was the case in Trenze, the little village of Hama. But I mean, that's what I see as my job, and that's what I talk to you, not only to NOS radio and television, because there's so few of us here to get like an independent account of what we see and what we hear.
Yesterday, I know you interviewed Robert Mood on his way out of Syria. How did he seem?
Yeah. He seemed sad in a way. I mean, I guess after arriving here, he became more and more of a diplomat every day. So there's no way you can really entice him to speak his mind. But I think he felt saddened. I think he felt that we as an international community abandoned the Syrian people. I felt that he personally felt he had to abandon the Syrian people with his team of observers. Not blaming himself. I mean, from the start he has said, and after the freeze of the observation mission, he has said, this is not something we like, but we came here to observe a ceasefire which wasn't there in the first place. Now, it pains him, I think, I see, but again, he's a diplomat, so he won't show everything he is thinking.
Did you see any kind of signs of celebration after the assassinations on Wednesday?
Yeah. I'm here. I'm here.
Can you hear me again?
What is the last you heard from me?
Yeah, I it was when I asked the question. Did you see any celebrations after the assassinations?
I didn't, no. And I think it's in part because, especially in central Damascus and in the Christian, Alawite, and rich Sunni areas, support for the president is still quite high, and maybe even only passively, but it's still there. Now, in the outskirts where the opposition is, maybe you would have seen celebratory scenes, but I didn't even hear shooting in the air, which you would expect. Fighting is still heavy at times. There are gunfights, but also shelling by artillery and tanks. So why would you take the risk, go out on the street, if the battle isn't over yet?
What evidence have you seen for support for Assad?
Now, there's still a lot of his pictures to be seen around the center of Damascus, but also in like the Christian areas where I visited today, for example. I attended the funeral of the Minister of Defense, who is a Greek Orthodox Christian, and people there are very outspoken in their support. Maybe not because they like him so much, but because they fear the alternative even more. And I guess that's the reason that still a lot of people show their support, even if there's no government minder standing behind me to basically control what they're saying.
What do you think is going to happen over the next few days?
Nobody can tell. Anybody that does is speculating. I mean, nobody could foresee what we saw the last week. Nobody will know what will happen tomorrow. Nobody, the day before yesterday, foresaw the opening, basically, of the border with Turkey. So, really, any assessment right now would come down to a speculation.
Are you going to be allowed to stay?
My visa expires on Sunday. They have made it clear that it cannot be extended.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time. All the best. Thanks.